day and welcome to Detroit Today. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson. Politics is a competition. Voters select someone that best represents them and their values as well as interests. The midterms offer voters a wide variety of competitions and issues to pay attention to. And one of the most competitive spaces in the midterms in Michigan this year is happening in our 10th congressional district. The newly drawn 10th mostly includes Macomb County and parts of Oakland County, with Republican John James facing Democrat Carl Marlinga. James is a U.S. Army veteran and businessman who continues to throw his hat in the political ring. James is running this time with Donald Trump's support and is criticizing President Joe Biden for the higher gas prices we've all been seeing. His opponent, Carl Marlinga, though, sees things a little bit differently. Carl has spent almost 40 years in public service for Macomb County, serving as a former prosecutor, assistant U.S. attorney, and circuit court judge with deep ties to the area. He wants to improve manufacturing in Macomb County, create a fairer criminal justice system, and ensure abortion rights are protected. At this point, the race has John James as the favorite, according to the Cook Political Report, but there's still 2 weeks before the election, and we've seen polls listing both Marlinga on top as well as John James on top. That means there's still plenty of time for the candidates to share their messages and collect more votes. To talk about the race and why he's running for Congress, today we have Carl Marlinga with us. Carl, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning, and thanks for having me here.
And thank you for joining us. And just as a note, we have contacted John James' campaign team on multiple occasions and to date have not heard back from them. But while I have you on the phone, Carl, let's start here. Why are you running for Congress in the 10th Congressional District?
This actually starts with January 6th of 2021, when my wife and I were watching the insurrection at the Capitol. She made a comment to me. She said, "Carl, aren't you glad that you're out of this?" And my reaction was not what she expected. I said, "This might be the time when people of good conscience get themselves involved. I mean, this is a real crisis. We've had 200 years of the peaceful transition of power now blown because of the egocentricity of the president in the White House and his encouragement for this kind of behavior." And then, of course, in the months following, we found out that as bad as the insurrection was, so what was happening inside the White House is that Trump and his people were trying to find ways to disallow the election and to not count electoral votes, have the thoroughly unconstitutional point of view accepted that the vice president could reject electors from various states when that's not in the original Constitution or the 12th Amendment. So anyway, as the year went on, I was hoping that there would be a strong Democratic candidate to emerge in whatever the new redrawn districts were. When both Haley Stevens and Andy Levin decided to run in the new 11th district, it left a vacancy here, and polls early on identified me as the one Democrat with the best chance to defeat John James. And so I told my wife and I told friends that, look, at John Kennedy said years ago, you know, if you have the ability to do something, perhaps you should think as to whether you have the duty to do it. And so rather than have a kind of a leisurely but economically profitable retirement doing mediations and arbitrations, I decided to throw myself in the ring one more time. I knew it was going to be brutal, but when I was younger, probably like most politicians, personal ambition was a driving force, with duty to country being a part of it. This is really just kind of like 98% duty, 2% ambition. We need people in the Congress to make sure that the Constitution is respected, that the elections are done right, and I just have to do this.
You know, it was interesting that you mentioned quoting Kennedy, because I was thinking while you were talking about that, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, which is, I think, a sentiment a lot of people want to get back to. And as someone with deep ties to Macomb County, then I would expect, or I would hope, that you'd have an idea of what the people in your community there in the newly redrawn 10th are really looking for in Congress. What are the issues that are most important, as you understand it, for the voters in the 10th?
Well, before I get to the actual issues, I want to say this. I think all people, including my neighbors here in Macomb County, want to see politics return to some sense of civility, where the crazies on the far right and the crazies on the far left do not dominate the news cycle all the time, that we get legitimate debates about real issues, decide those issues, and then shake hands and be friends and not have this constant sniping at one another. But as far as the issues, I think that there are three that I think are most important. One is representation. The next is choice. And the last one is inflation. And representation, I simply mean this, that unlike other offices, this is called the House of Representatives, meaning that you are a representative of your community, that you take some person from the community and that person represents the community, is the voice for the neighbors in the community. And in this election, for some reason that I can't understand, John James doesn't live in the district, but he has chosen not to move into the district. He says he will move in if he wins, but that doesn't talk to me about a lot, great deal of commitment. And I guess it implies that if he doesn't win, he won't bother moving in. But I think that's important, because a representative in the House is more important than any other area of government. You can have people in the executive, you can have people in the Senate, but a representative must know what his or her neighbors are thinking. It's good if your kids go to the schools in the district, that you shop in the district, go to church in the, I mean, I do all of that. And John James isn't even able to vote for himself because he's a resident of Farmington Hills. So that's issue number one. And I'll just let the voters decide what they want to make of that. I think it's a big issue. On our latest polling, 44% of the people that we polled thought that it was a big issue. So we'll just see where that falls. The second one is the issue of choice. And a lot has been said about it. It's a pretty clear line of demarcation. I'm pro-choice. John James has said many times that he's 100% pro-life, and that he doesn't even accept the exceptions for a person who is the victim of rape or incest. And I know that there's a lot of things on the airwaves about, well, what if a 14-year-old gets pregnant as a result of incest? Should she have to carry the pregnancy to term? You know, the answer should be a clear no, but let's not limit it to 14-year-olds. There are 13-year-olds, there are 12-year-olds who are impregnated as a result of rape or incest. There are 20 and there are 30-year-olds. No person who is the victim of crime, of that kind of a brutal crime, should be forced to complete the pregnancy because of the moral beliefs of somebody else. The state doesn't have a right to intrude on all of our privacy matters, our health matters. Some things are just too deep, too personal. And a decision about an abortion should be between a woman, her physician, and her God. It should not include the county prosecutor. It should not include a detective. Oh, and by the way, about, you know, we're also talking about if a woman and a man are looking forward to a child and that couple happens to suffer the tragedy of a miscarriage, a criminal file is going to be open on that in order to determine whether or not that was a naturally occurring event or whether it was induced. That kind of awful, draconian invasion of the state into private matters is chilling, and we just can't go there. The last issue is inflation, and on that I say that the root cause for inflation in this particular year or past couple of years is the war in Ukraine, with grain prices going up, food prices going up worldwide because Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe, but also the oil prices with Russia and Iran and the OPEC countries trying to put great pressure on the United States by withholding millions of barrels of oil from the market in order to keep the price of oil high. And what happens when the price of oil is high? Well, you get 42 gallons of gas from every barrel of oil. So as the price of oil goes up, the price of gasoline goes up. And if a trucker has to fill his or her truck with gasoline, instead of paying $500 for a full tank, they pay $2,000 for a full tank, which is what these big rigs will take. It means that the price of everything carried on that truck to the supermarket, paper towels, oranges, Rice Krispies, whatever it is, that price is going to go up as well. And so we are seeing an inflation push, not because of government spending, which is often the cause, but rather because the price of energy is so high. And there are actors in the world, namely Russia and Iran, even Saudi Arabia, who like it to be that way, who like to see the United States twist in the wind. And we have to stand up to these international thieves and say, no more. We are not going to be held hostage to your price hikes, which means that we have to seriously develop alternative energy. And we need to do it to save the planet. But, and I'll close with this and take your next question. It's important in order to save the planet to fight climate change, but it's also important to give us the energy independence, which will get us away from the ability of these foreign nations to put economic pressure on us through inflation. And that is, I think, a big issue, and it's one that that we have to address, and we have to address it in a way that gets serious about not letting us be at the mercy of OPEC.
We're speaking with Carl Marlinga, again, the Democrat running for the 10th Congressional District against John James, the Republican in that race, here on 101.9 WDET and Detroit Today. And Carl, you did mention the three areas, inflation, choice, and representation, as you seeing the big issues Macomb County voters and are facing and that you're tackling. So I want to tackle these one at a time, and we'll start with inflation that you just mentioned. Because while I can appreciate the long-term nature of what you're talking about in terms of helping reduce inflation with renewable and clean energy, the impact of inflation is being felt by Macomb County voters and Michiganders right now. And you mentioned things like OPEC and the war in Ukraine. What solution do you have in the short term or legislation that you would introduce that would give relief to consumers and residents immediately or in a shorter term process while we work on the renewables?
Sure. In terms of the necessities of life, we have to make sure that drug prices are kept low, and the Inflation Reduction Act passed by a Democratic Congress and a Democratic chief executive in the White House does just that. It allows us to finally negotiate with drug companies to bring down the cost of prescription drugs. It puts a cap on the amount that you have to pay for insulin, and so the necessities of life have to be covered. But in addition to that, I know that some people would like to jump to wage and price controls immediately. But in this cycle, you don't have to, because, again, the Inflation Reduction Act does a thing that gets us away from inflation. If you just give out money without increasing production, that's an inflationary pressure. If, however, the money that you distribute goes to boost manufacturing, if you produce more goods, if you make more products, you have more products being chased by the same amount of money. Inflation occurs when you have more money in the system chasing fewer products. And so the Inflation Reduction Act wisely aims at increasing manufacturing. And that is, again, another solution. And also, I do want to take issue with the original premise about moving to renewables. Yes, it's going to take years to completely move on to renewables, but it's a negotiating tool. Yeah. If we can tell OPEC that, look, at the more you raise your oil prices, the more you take oil off the market, we are going to be putting more money into renewables. And so you can cut your own throat by continuing to do this to us, but it's only going to accelerate. But they have to know that we are serious. I always say in criminal law, in raising children, in foreign policy, you have to mean what you say. And so the OPEC nations, Russia and Iran and Saudi Arabia, they have to know that we are deadly serious about doing this, that this commitment isn't half-hearted. And if they know that, then market forces will take effect because they will realize it's in their own best interest not to play hardball with us because we're going to be playing hardball with them. And by the way, I do not leave out the possibility that that with regard to the oil companies, basically, if you do the math, knowing that you get 42 gallons of gasoline from every barrel of oil, we're still about 80 cents to a dollar above what gasoline should be selling for because the oil companies are reaping huge profits, and they know it. And they're saying, well, we work on such thin margins. Yeah, normally you work on thin margins, except when the prices are up like this, those margins aren't thin anymore. You're making gigantic profits. And maybe it's time that we did some investigation and closed them down do what they say. Oh, this is against market forces and all that. That's phony. You oil companies are already taking advantage of this. You are ignoring market forces. You're gouging us. You're making a profit. It's time we shut you down.
Yeah. And you also mentioned, and I appreciate your points there, on being pro-choice, which I understand. But Michigan has legislation that we'll be considering in the fall. And as a member of Congress, you know, your responsibility would be to draft law that would have effect not only locally but nationally. I'm not aware of any abortion laws that would be coming into effect. The Supreme Court has already decided the issue then. Is being pro-choice, especially with how people in Macomb County look at the issue, is that something that you would be able to have an effect on or cause any change in as a member of Congress?
Yeah, well, the answer is yes, surprisingly so. Lindsey Graham, the Republican leader in the Senate, has proposed a nationwide abortion ban, meaning that he's trying to do something which, as a matter of federal law, would take precedence over state law. And so we need reasonable people in the Congress to say, no way, that after decades of the conservative message being that this is a matter for the states to decide, now you have a Republican leader and Republicans in Congress, the morality police in Congress, trying to say that, well, I know that we said that this is a matter of state law before, but we've changed our mind now. Now we're going to make this a federal mandate. And so you have to have people in the House and the Senate to say, we are rejecting that's a probably an unconstitutional idea, but you got to nip it in the bud. You got to be there to stop it from happening. Also, I think it's just important for any public official when running for office to let the voters know where he or she stands on important issues. And I'm voting for Proposition 3. And yes, it will be a matter of state law that the Supreme Court can't touch. But we have to have people in Congress to make sure that there's not some ill-gotten attempt in Congress to suddenly nationalize this issue with hypocrites who for years have been saying, no, it's a state issue, and now they say, no, it's a federal issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, speaking with Carl Marlinga, running in the 10th Congressional District as the Democrat, and you also mentioned representation and your ties to Macomb County, living in the area for so much of your life. But my question for you then is, if there's a benefit in knowing, going to the grocery store, meeting your neighbors, being a member of the community, as you say, because you have to represent them, you've told me these issues. What are the issues that you are hearing from the people in the grocery store that you meet, your neighbors, that they really want representation for? What are the issues that are most important to them, and how are you going to deal with those?
I tell you, so the very three that I mentioned, I didn't pick out of thin air. When I'm going door to door, when I'm both on, last Saturday and Sunday, I had the wonderful experience of handing out Halloween candy to a bunch of the children and their parents coming through in Mount Clemens. There were about 5,000 people came through. In St. Clair Shores, about 3,000 people came through. And, of course, mainly you're just talking, you know, happily about the kids and passing out candy, and it's fun and all that. But every once in a while, people would stop. And these are the three things that people talk to me about. Hmm. They say, I'm voting for you, Carl. You know, I don't want a guy who doesn't even live here. Then somebody else will stop by and say that, you know, look at your pro-choice. I'm pro-choice. Thank you for respecting my freedom, trusting me as a woman. And I say, well, thank you. I'm very honored when I when I hear people talk that way. And then the last one is people say, you know, we got to do something about inflation. And so these are the three that I've talked about. Now, I have on occasion heard people talk about two other things. So one would be the war in Ukraine, and also about student loans. And on student loans, people now seem to be aware that there's an odd hypocrisy that John James has presented on both of these issues. He's criticized aid to Ukraine, and he's criticized student loans. And this is so, I don't understand why he's doing this, because John James's company took a $2.7 million loan for the Paycheck Protection Program during the COVID crisis. And he didn't pay it back. The debt was forgiven. And I can see, as a businessman, he reaps this windfall and he's happy about it. But if you take $2.7 million from taxpayers and then you don't pay it back, you shouldn't be chirping about some poor student out of school who's saddled with debt, and the $10,000 would be a meaningful change in his or her life. Whereas you, as a millionaire, the $2.7 million that you just got as a windfall from the taxpayers, you don't say anything about. Yeah. And then he talks about aid to Ukraine. And again, it's the same thing. Okay, look, freedom is on the line in Ukraine. I grew up down the street from the Ukrainian Cultural Center. We have the largest Ukrainian population of anywhere in the United States here in Macomb County. These are my neighbors. This is important to them. I've talked to people who actually have lived and worked in places that have been bombed by the Russians.
Yeah.
This is naked aggression. 90 years ago, with Adolf Hitler going into Czechoslovakia, we said never again. And yet here we are. In the 21st century with a madman like Adolf Hitler. Putin has followed Hitler's game plan exactly, because Hitler said, well, there are German-speaking peoples in the Sudetenland in Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
Putin is saying, well, there are Russian-speaking peoples in Crimea. It's the same game plan. Yeah. And so after Russia suffered so much in World War II, the memory of all of the Russian soldiers who fell in World War II is now dishonored by this philosophical descendant of Adolf Hitler who is using the same playbook.
Yeah. We're going to continue our conversation with Carl Marlinga here on Detroit Today, 101.9 WDET. But if you have any questions, you can get involved with the conversation as well. Do you live in Macomb County? You live in the 10th District? You live in that area of Oakland County that's affected also? What are you looking for from your representative, and what are you most interested in? Give us a call, 313-577-1019. Carl, I do have a couple more questions for you when we return. Turn and keep right here as Detroit Today continues in just a moment.
WDET is your connection to what's happening in Detroit.
WDET is your place for open dialogue about the issues that impact you.
Stay in the know.
This is WDET FM,
Detroit's NPR station.
Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET, where I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson, getting to know some of the candidates in our congressional races, this time with the 10th Congressional District covering Macomb and parts of Oakland County, with the Democrat running for that seat, Carl Marlinga. And Carl, we have a question on Twitter from someone who lives in your district. But before I get there, one of the reasons I was asking about representation of the folks who live in your area is because from the numbers that we see, it seems Macomb County is tending more towards Republican or conservative viewpoints, which would mean that as the Democrat, theoretically, if the same amount of people on both sides were to run or to come out and vote, that would put you in a losing spot. So in order to win, theoretically, you either got to get more Democrats out to vote, or you're going to have to get some of those conservative and Republican voters to vote for you. So my question, I guess, would be, one, what's your strategy in order to make that happen? But what are the issues that you believe that you have support on that can get some of those conservative votes to help push you over the top if you need them?
Well, just a couple of things. First of all, in the independent and conservative votes, the people here in Macomb County know me as just a good, solid, middle-of-the-road type of guy trying to do good things for good people. And so by reputation, I know that I can that's why the poll showed me as the strongest Democrat to run, because I had that name recognition and confidence of a lot of people who would otherwise be voting for a more conservative or Republican candidate. Secondly, turnout is going to be big in this race. I think that every Democrat is going to benefit from the surge vote, which is going to be the pro-choice vote. Women, men, especially young women in their 20s and 30s, but people of goodwill of any age think that this assault on our personal liberty is just too much, and I think we're going to get a huge turnout. And I think that you take any Democrat and you take the last poll on Election Day, you add a +3 because of the turnout. And then lastly, the fundamental premise is that I'll try to keep it as short as I can. The precincts in this area run Democratic, that if you did a Democratic race for Congress using these precincts over the last 20 years, that's 10 elections, a Democrat theoretically would win every time. And Senator Stabenow beat the common opponent, John James, in these precincts by 5%. Gary Peters beat him by 1%. The fact that in the latest poll it shows that I'm 2 points ahead, 44 to 42, is bracketed. It's consistent with what Peters and Stabenow did against a common opponent. So there is really great reason to go into this with a great deal of hope and confidence.
Very good. David on Twitter says, I'm in Marlinga's district. I'd like to hear his thoughts on the smart bus millage, which is up for renewal this year. 4 years ago, it barely passed. If it fails in Macomb, it will prevent thousands of people from reaching jobs, getting groceries, and getting to church and more. Carl, I leave the question to you.
Oh, yeah. Look, it failed, I think, by 20. There was a 26-vote margin the last time around, which is way too narrow. Look, I'm a big proponent of public transportation, of the smart system. And I come at that in a number of ways. Remember, I was a probate judge and a circuit court judge. I know from being a probate judge how people with disabilities, how people who have lost their families are living alone, people who need guardians, people who need conservators. There's a need for ordinary folks like us who don't have a lot of money to be able to have a productive, happy life, to get to church, get to the doctor, get to the grocery store. I mean, the smart system is so important. And then in the circuit court side of things, I mean, some criminal defendants are bad people who are going to hurt you and try to do bad things to you no matter what. But there are a lot of people in the criminal justice system who continually make bad choices, don't get a break. And then when they have a chance to get a job, if they don't have transportation for that job, not only economically are they still in bad shape, but also in terms of their psyche. Something just, it seems like the world is stacked against them. You can't even get to work. And so it's going to help in the criminal justice system. It's going to deter people from committing crimes because it's going to do the thing that is most important in preventing crime, and that it's going to give people hope. If you have hope, if you have a job, if you feel confident in your future, you turn away from crime. If you don't have those things, not everybody, maybe most people don't commit crimes no matter how bad things get, but some people at the fringes lose all hope. And so, look, I think you can tell from my voice, I could rail about this for a long time. We have to pass that millage. It's such a worthwhile investment, and it's just a decent thing to do for our friends and neighbors who don't have the wealth or the ability to drive.
One of the things, first of all, great points there. One of the things I know that's important right now in Congress, getting things done, it's very difficult to do, though, sometimes with our system of gridlock. And on this point, I note that John James right now is fundraising a lot and has a lot of name recognition. You mentioned yours, but it appears that he also has strong name recognition. To that voter that's wondering about the ability to get things done, the fact that maybe John James making so much money shows that he might have a little bit more push or sway in Congress, what would you say? How would you be able to get things done in Congress in our current system as it exists right now?
Yeah, well, first of all, remember, John James is not a self-made man. I mean, he's the beneficiary of wealthy parents. He's a trust millionaire. And so it's not like he's forged these paths himself. So I don't know what that means about his ability to be successful in Congress. But I do know that in terms of what I can bring to the job, that I know my neighbors, I know the people in this district, and I can certainly be their voice. I think I kind of lost the train of the question. What was the specific question you were asking?
The question was just about your tactics for getting things done, especially, you know, in legislation. Go ahead.
Oh, here's another point. So first of all, on both sides of the aisle, I'll take the Republican side first. I have a friend in Congress, and I will not name who he or she is because I don't want to throw them under the bus and have them, you know, be primaried or have people talk about them. But there are people in Congress who I know, not necessarily from this state, who are Republicans. And I got a call saying, Carl, I can't wait to have you join us in Congress. You're a reasonable voice on the other side, and I know that there's some nonpartisan things, bipartisan things that we can work out, and it would be such a pleasure to have you there. On the Democratic side, I got some great cheerleaders, Alyssa Slotkin, Haley Stevens, Debbie Dingell, Dan Kildee, Sri Thanadar, who's going to win because he's basically in a safe Democratic seat. These are people who have attended my fundraisers, who have and I'm friends with Andy Levin as well, but Haley Stevens, every time I see that amazing young woman, it's like it's just another shot in the arm. She knows that I would be an ally on the Science and Technology Committee because of my desire to have renewable energy, but also my deep interest in science. Technology is the wave of the future in order to make sure that we have good paying jobs in this country. And so on both sides of the aisle, I have people who have told me that they are just kind of like really, really anxious to have me there. So I think I can be an effective force even as a freshman.
All right. You know what, Carl? Appreciate you being so generous with your time. I'm going to give you your opportunity right now. Make your pitch to the voter. Why should Carl Marlinga be the next elected representative for the 10th Congressional District?
We need representation from somebody who lives in the district. I've spent my whole adult life in Macomb County. The part of the district that isn't Macomb is Rochester and Rochester Hills. My daughter lives there. My granddaughter goes to school there. In private practice, I had clients up and down Main Street. And so Rochester, to me, is just an unbelievable district. When I saw the map, I said, oh, my God, it almost looks like I drew this map myself. These are all the areas where I've worked, where I've gone to school, where my kids have gone to school, where I go to church, where I go shopping, where I attend my granddaughter's performances at her school. This is my home district. As Debbie Stabenow says, Carl, remember, Marlinga is Macomb. And I said, that's a great phrase, but remember, I got Rochester and Rochester Hills too. And she says, well, then don't forget to mention your daughter and granddaughter. And so I've done that just now. This is my home turf. I want to be the representative for the people that I've lived among and worked among all of my life. Right. In addition to that, I think I'm the right choice on the choice issue. And I think that I, unlike other people who just wring their hands to talk about inflation, I actually can point the way to a solution to work out of that. As, Winston Churchill once said, you know, when you're going through hell, keep going. In other words, work your way through it. Don't let a problem freeze you. Right. Just keep on working towards a solution. And in all of my professional life, I've shown that desire and ability to do the right thing for the right reason, regardless of the consequences, regardless of partisan advantage or disadvantage, I want to represent the people because I love the people in this district and I love the United States.
Yeah. Thank you, Carl. You know what? I got one call, though, for you that we're going to take from Deborah in Hamtramck, because I believe Deborah also has something to kind of dovetail on that point when you talk about the people. So, Deborah in Hamtramck, go ahead with you're on Detroit Today. Deborah, are you there? Deborah? Well, it looks like we lost Deborah, but that's Deborah, are you there? No, we have no Deborah today. Well, it's okay. But Carl, I do appreciate, again, you coming on here on Detroit Today and talking with us about your bid for the 10th Congressional District.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, great.
Coming up next on Detroit Today, we're going to take a look at the important state house races that you should be paying attention to, including many taking place downriver with Elena Dernbaugh. That's next on Detroit Today when we continue in just a moment.